96.7 WKID. Welcome for a special edition of the Evening Meltdown. We have a special guest in the studio. We have Mr. Barlow with the FCC. Right. You're what of the FCC?
I am part of the Enforcement Bureau.
Okay. So what do you do there?
To make it short, we enforce the rules and regulation. We resolve interference problems. When there's people out there that are violating the rules, then we go after them. We're just one of many field offices that are throughout the nation. We are the only field representatives that are scattered throughout the country, okay?
So, like, you're not just located in Florida. You're located all around the United States.
Yeah, not me, but field offices are all over the United States. We are the ones that they call on when there's problems to deal with, whether it be public safety, local public safety, FAA, ICE, any other communications problems, we're the ones that have to deal with it if it's in our district. My district is the state of Florida.
You cover the whole state?
Yes.
That's quite a large area.
That's a lot of land.
Well, yes, there are resident agents in South Florida, so they're involved in all of this also. I cover the rest of the state.
Now, that's a district. It's also divided into regions, correct?
Yes,
we're in the South Central region.
We are South Central region.
So, like, you only go after people that don't like follow the rules of like FCC, or like if someone doesn't follow like the law.
Yeah. Well, yeah, yes,
I'm trying to wonder like if they don't follow like the rules at FCC, or is it like y'all go after people that break law and you go after them?
Most of our work is response-oriented, but that's not all of it. Like I said, we deal with interference problems. And yes, if there's people out there that do not want to obey the law, we get a complaint against them, then we go after them, full force.
That's a pretty neat job.
It is. I love it. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't, but I do.
Like going out there and busting those bad guys.
That's a fact.
That's got to be a lot of excitement instead of like a boring old job sitting in
the office.
Every day is absolutely a different day.
You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, but beyond that part, we also get tasked by headquarters to do different things which are in the public service arena. Most recent example is, you remember the digital TV transition?
Yes.
Okay, my staff was all over the state, everywhere, well, even out of the state, setting up booths, trying to educate people and tell them, after this date, you're not going to get TV if you're using rabbit ears or outside antenna. So that's just one example of some of the other stuff that we need to do.
Did the FCC, like, want people to have digital or have them keep the bunny ears?
FCC...
Or did they come up with the digital?
This was in the making a long time ago. Digital TV is much, much better. The technology is that there's all kind of avenues. So, yes, it's definitely something that needs to be done. Because in today's technology, there's so many things that can do with digital TV. For example, TV stations now have two channels.
An HD channel and a regular channel.
Well, no, not a regular channel. But they do have a HD1 and HD2, okay? And it's all using up a spectrum that is the same spectrum. They get so much more out of using the same spectrum. And you have to understand that spectrum is limited. So by doing all of this, we have more services. In addition to that, we're freeing up spectrum that can be used by public safety.
Which is a good thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Of course. Public safety has to communicate, you know?
Exactly, yeah. Let's get off this topic real quick and head to your childhood. Yeah, first, where were you born?
Wildwood, Florida.
Now, where exactly is that located?
North, south, east,
county. West. Of us.
It is in the center part of the state. It is about 25 miles south of Ocala. Okay, it was a very, very, very small town. That's where I was born. Back in those days, I was actually born in my mother's bedroom.
What's the biggest differences from back then to today?
Technology. Back then, when I had my amateur station, I was communicating with CW. I don't know if y'all know what that is. Morse code.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Okay. And the TVs were, of course, old analog TVs, and then they came in with color. The only way I can describe it is that it was all old technology. And it's all progressed over the years, and it's so much better now than it ever was before. It was difficult.
Didn't like the computers or like the TVs or something. They had like instead of black and white, you can get it like in green or something. You could like.
Oh yeah, they had like green films that you could put in the TV to make it.
Yeah, as soon as they came out with a standard for color TV, okay, which not very many people could afford a color TV.
Oh yeah.
But they came out with a standard, and they had to, they made sure that the standard was compatible with black and white. So they had subcarriers and stuff like that. I happen to know that because I used to have to fix them. They would come out with a screen of film to try to say that was color. So they would put the screen over there. And then it would have green on the bottom, blue on the top. And you can imagine what that's like.
Just seeing like solid images in one color.
Yeah, but they come out with everything they can't imagine. But it finally kept, you know, it caught on.
Now, you speak of having an amateur radio, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what did you dream of becoming when you were a younger boy?
An electronic engineer.
Yeah, like, how'd you get it all started?
How'd you come up with that dream?
Well, like I said, I just started out at a very early age. I knew what I wanted to do. My family supported me. Of course, I like mechanics, too. I built my own engine as a kid, you know, so I do mechanics, too. I like that stuff. But I would go down to the local radio and TV repair shop and just sit around and watch and do whatever. My father came in and said to the owners, if there's anything he can do, just give it to him. Let him do it. And from there, it just built up. I wound up working there all the way through college. So, like I said, I was lucky. I knew what I wanted to do.
I just don't get how people can set their mind on something and stick on it for a long time. Because I get bored really fast with just about everything.
Which is a bad thing.
It really is.
How'd you stick with electronic and that job and everything until college? Because, like, with me, I can get doing something for about 10 days and I'll stop. Except for doing cars. I love doing cars.
Well, I did both. I did all that stuff. But I was just fascinated with it. I got in. They would give me stuff to do. I loved troubleshooting, trying to figure out what was wrong with radios or whatever and fixing them. And I just never lost my interest. That's just me. I never lost my interest. I just kept going.
Yeah, so what kind of hobbies did you have? Was basically, working with electronics with your hobby?
Working with electronics and amateur radio. I was what you would call a geek.
There's nothing wrong with that. Geeks rule the world.
Speaking of radios, since we're a radio station, we play music 24/7. What kind of music do you prefer to listen to?
As you might expect, it's oldies. 50s, 60s, 70s.
Michael Jackson?
Before him?
Elvis?
George Jones?
Oh, yeah.
The Beatles? Elvis
is the one.
The Beatles? Oh,
yeah. Beatles are so-so.
Oh,
I don't like Beatles.
I've never been too much of a fan of
the Bee Gees?
Bee Gees.
That was the 80s, man. Buddy Holly.
I don't... Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Johnny Cash.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. My music selection really depends on not necessarily the artist. I don't go buy a CD with a single artist. I pick and choose the music that I like. Neil Diamond, okay.
Cher.
Cher's good.
What about Dolly Parton?
Dolly Parton's good. The best.
That's actually my cousin. Like, I've sat down and ate dinner with her and everything.
Really?
She's my blood cousin.
Really? Well, yeah. I mean, Dolly Parton's the best.
But you haven't got her in the studio.
What is up with that?
Y'all never asked.
Get her in the studio. Let's say right now.
Can you get her in the studio? This is me formally asking you.
So anyway, it's mix and match. It's not one particular artist. It's just
Do you listen to classical music at all? Oh, look at that. We have a caller.
I don't know what classical music is.
Like
Beethoven.
Bach or Beethoven, Mozart. Any of that
no,
at all?
That stuff puts me to sleep.
How does that put you to sleep? Listen to Requiem.
No. Well, they have that stuff in the elevators in my office.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I would love your office. And
I'd sleep in the elevator.
No, I don't. I can't go for that stuff.
I don't know. I guess I'm just odd when it comes to that then.
Well, no, that doesn't make you odd. That makes you...
Different.
What you like. Not necessarily different. There's tons of people that like the same stuff. Didn't make you odd.
All right, here, I have a good question. Like, what was probably the most weirdest job that you've ever done? With, like, doing rules and stuff like that, and someone broke one of the rules, and you had to go find them or whatever?
Okay, you're talking about FCC job?
Yeah. What's your weirdest bust that you've done?
I have many of those. But I will relate one of them to you, because I can tell you there's many, many of them. But this one sort of sticks out in my mind.
Tops all of them?
We had a case, and obviously we worked with local law enforcement, stuff like that. this woman kept calling 911, tying it up, using a cell phone. They had pulled out the ASN chip, which is electronic signature number. So the cell phone company, you know, they can isolate it to a particular frequency. But under normal circumstances, since they knew it was bogus, if the ESN chip had been in, they would just shut it down. Okay, they couldn't do that because the ESN chip was not there. So the cell phone companies can get you within a block, maybe in an apartment complex, but they can't tell you where in that apartment complex it is. My agents went out and, working with the police department, using our portable stuff, determined, and the 911 operator kept her on the phone, you know, so we could find her. So they told them what apartment it was. So the police department decided, okay, let's go get a search warrant. So, and they did. They can do it so much faster than me. And they did. And so they went in, did a search warrant, and went in and they said, well, we don't have a cell phone or anything. They, you know, so, well, they found the cell phone in her bed, under the covers, and so obviously, you know, they're going to arrest her and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know how much of this you want to relay, but I don't even know. I might have to review what I'm telling you, but... but this is a very typical scenario. This woman was scheduled for surgery the next day. Okay? So they didn't arrest her. They wanted to wait till she was done in the hospital to arrest her, because if they had arrested her, the county would have to pay for the surgery. So, anyway, that's just kind of a...
Wow.
Interesting scenario. I've got tons and tons of them. Interference to FAA.
Well, like, you know. Why'd she keep calling 911 just for no reason? She called and hang up.
Oh, she was a wacko.
Oh, one of those people?
Yeah.
Do you think maybe she could have been trying to get arrested so that they would pay for the surgery?
She was just a flake. Just a wacko. I mean, that, you know. They're out there.
Now,
always.
You were talking about working with the local police. Do you work with any other bureaus or federal organizations?
Oh, yeah, all the federal agencies. I work with ICE. I work with Customs and Border Patrol. I work with FAA.
Border Control is a really good job.
Border Control?
I don't know. I just know we work with them all the time. As a matter of fact, I just gave them one of my cars. And FBI, ICE, we work not only with local government, but every federal agency. Secret Service, they'll call us from time to time.
Green Beret?
No, I haven't gotten a call from Green Beret yet.
Green Beret is more of a military
organization. It is military.
Yeah.
Never mind, I didn't say anything.
No, they have military. Well, I do work for military, too, because I have to resolve some of their interference problems to radar. I mean, up in the Panhandle or over here at Patrick, they have interference problems and they call us, and we work with those guys also.
Do you work with the airports, like say Tampa International?
Oh yeah, of course.
Now, do you or the company work for all these? Your company, right? FCC?
Not really a company, Adam. It's an organization.
Organization, yeah.
Agency.
Yeah. Okay.
Is it just you that works for all those? ICE, Border Patrol, is it the FCC?
FCC in general. We all do that. Okay, everybody in the field does that.
So what other kind of jobs have you had besides working with the FCC?
TV and radio repairman.
That's it?
That's it.
You were involved in TV?
No, TV and radio repair.
Oh, okay.
TV and radio repair, yes, when I was in 14.
All right, understood.
You know, that's what I did.
For some reason, I separated those as two separate jobs.
What type of education do you have?
I graduated from the University of Florida in 1971 and with a Bachelor of Science in Electronic Engineering.
So we're safe to assume that your favorite football team is, in fact, the Gators?
Yes.
All right, that's good.
Have you been to a game?
Oh, yeah, I've been to the Swamp.
is awesome, isn't it?
It really is.
We just need to take Greg over there, and he'll get to like it. He'll be like, wow. Of course.
So, what does FCC stand for?
Federal Communications Commission.
It's a mouthful, I think. It's a good thing it's shortened to FCC.
Well, I'm going to try to say it.
Well, what? Okay, but you'd be surprised. Whenever I'm talking to some people, I cannot say FCC because they don't always know what I'm talking about. So I have to say Federal Communications Commission because FCC has a whole lot of different acronyms. For example, Florida Community College.
Yes.
And a whole bunch of different things.
Maybe it's just because we're so used to... We're radio-oriented, well, so we're used to
FCC being the major. But a lot of people don't.
So how'd you get to, you know, top of the line, like where you are right now? How do you? What kind of steps do you have to go through? Processes?
The process is you apply. I came on board. I graduated in 71. My draft number was 28. At that time, they had a draft.
Like the NFL draft?
No, like World War II and Vietnam draft?
Yeah. Military draft.
That stuff.
Okay. So anyway, I went in the National Guard, okay, and I spent my 6 years there. At the time that I was making out job applications, I filled out job applications for GTE, federal government, FCC, a whole bunch of different things. And at that particular point in time, NASA, which I think that's getting ready to happen again, but NASA was laying off all kind of engineers, okay? Well, I knew engineers that were laid off from NASA that were driving bread trucks, you know, just to make a living because they were all laid off. So even though the FCC was not my first choice because the pay was the pits, okay, but I got the job offer, I took it, and I have been happy ever since. The initial pay wasn't that good, but for electronic engineers, they had a progressive promotion deal. After the first 6 months, you went 2 grades higher. I was hired at $8,500 a year, okay? So,
$8,500.
Yes,
a year.
Granted, this is back in 71.
That's not a lot now, but that's plenty.
Yeah, 1971. It still wasn't that good, but it was good.
The average was around 10,000 back then.
I don't know. I don't know about that. Anyway, I took the job. After 6 months, they promoted me two grades because it was an accelerated engineer program, which they still have going. Because I just hired. New engineer. And then after a year, you go another 2 grades until you reach your operating, your journeyman level. Okay? And that was fine. That was decent money once I got there. And then you just apply for different vacancies as they come up. And in 74, because I went to work, I was hired in Fort Lauderdale as a watch stander for a monitoring station. So in 74, an opening came up in Tampa for the supervisory job. I applied for it, and I got it. And I've been here ever since.
Wow, out of how many people? A lot of people, right? You got the spot out of a lot of people?
That applied, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's plenty of people that applied for it, and I got the job.
It's really
cool. I guess I must have done something right. I don't know.
What's the average salary for either a job like you or engineering job?
This day and age?
Yeah, this day and age.
I would say, I don't know, $80,000-$90,000, something like that.
Really?
Once you reach the journeyman level, okay. You know, once you go through the steps. But yeah, once you reach the journeyman level, 80,000 or 90,000.
You're technically considered a civic worker, correct?
Well, yeah, I'm civil service.
So do you get any certain benefits because you're a civic worker?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I get retirement benefits. I'm under the old civil service retirement system. I get sick leave, like I would say 6 weeks a year. I have well over, because I don't ever use sick leave, but I have well over 1,000 hours of sick leave. I could be off sick for a year and not lose any pay. And then you get annual, once you reach the plateau, you get annual leave, which is about 5.5 weeks a year. And you can accumulate that and carry over 6 weeks a year. So otherwise, you have to use whatever you have for that year or lose it. So, yeah, the benefits are terrific.
Yeah, I thought you can, like, turn in the sick money or whatever, that you, the days that you can have off for money. The sick days for money.
No.
You can't? Oh,
no.
I thought you could.
No. The sick leave, if you're, the way the sick leave, now, if I was going to retire, they would pay me for whatever annual leave I have accrued, okay? But the sick leave, all that does for whatever I haven't used is it is applied towards your year's service.
Okay.
Right, yeah. For example, you know, if I was to retire, and over 1,000 hours or whatever, I have 39 years in, okay? Then they would do the sick leave and say, okay, now so you have 40 years. That's all that does.
Oh, okay.
They don't pay you for that up front.
I was wondering, who are the people who basically, like, drive around the trucks and go and, like, you know, bus pirate radio stations and stuff like that? I mean, like, what position is that in the FCC?
They're agents.
Agents?
Yeah, and there's two different categories of agents. We have electronic engineers, okay, who do that.
They do that too, okay.
And I have the two people that you met tonight are compliance specialists. They are, but they sort of do all the same stuff.
Okay.
But they just don't have the degree in engineering. But they're very technically competent, and that's the only way they got there.
Now, you said you were one of those engineers, so that means you used to do that. Used to go around.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I wish I could still do it. I'm too busy.
Are they like bounty hunters, kind of?
Bounty hunters.
Well, except they don't get paid for it.
I
mean, they get their salary.
Yeah,
they don't get paid for a bust.
Yeah, for going over and doing a bust and calling somebody, they don't get extra money for that.
That'd be awesome if they did. Everybody would be getting that job.
Oh, yeah. Now, have you ever played sports before? Like, did you ever play football or soccer or anything like that?
No, I was in the band.
You were
a band? What did you play?
I played saxophone.
Nice.
And cornet.
Well,
nice.
Gibson over here, Tony, he wants to know if you'll join his band.
No, he doesn't want me. I was never good.
You play the bass guitar?
I play guitar, bass. I used to play trombone. I'm in percussion. I'm in chorus. And
you're in chorus?
Yeah.
Nuh-uh, when?
Yes. After school chorus for the past semester, and then chorus class next year.
Well, I did play the violin for a while, but I was never good at any of that stuff.
Can you do the moonwalk?
Moonwalk.
No.
Mr.
Have you ever rode a unicycle?
No.
And
I don't intend to.
He's a little interesting over here. He does the moonwalk and rides unicycles.
You tell him to do something, he can do it, basically. Tell him
that's
to climb
good.
A roof, he can climb a roof.
Greg is what we call universal. He fits everything.
Mm-hmm. Basically, that's talent right over here.
Okay, I might be able to think up something for him to do that.
All right. All right.
Okay, I got one for you.
Oh.
When we bust a pirate, we need somebody to climb up the tower and take the antenna down.
Oh, I could so do that.
do that.
I could so do that.
Okay, I used to do it myself, but I got too old for that. Okay, what was the question?
How do you find out more about FCC?
Go to our website,
which is
www.fcc.gov. Very simple. Everything you ever want to know is on there.
Alrighty.
So if you want to apply for a job and go bust
well,
people.
And it tells you what vacancies there are. It tells you what vacancies or what jobs are available. It tells you everything.
Now, can you like give a little rundown of like the rules? If you're if you're a radio station out there and you want to make sure you're not like a pirate radio station out there, you want to make sure that you're in the legal limit.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us a rundown of like the rules or something that you have to be in order not to be a pirate radio station? You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, the rules for are basically you have to comply with. Okay. Do you know what Part 15 of the rules is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So there is specific field strength limits,
yeah.
Okay, that you must comply with. Okay, regardless of what you're running.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's what you have to do. You have to make sure, by the way, we checked this station now.
Right? So yeah. We're legal.
Yeah, really. You have to make sure you're complying with that.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And in most cases, like your case, first of all, your signal is not going to go out very far. But our problems are all of these others that, I mean, they're running like 1,000 watts or 2,000 or 5,000 watts or stuff
that. Which is interfering.
And they're interfering with everything. And they're running, like I said before, it's like gang related. And,
a lot of them aren't even educational and everything.
Well, no, they're not. It's CD copyright stuff, promoting dance clubs, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay? But, and those are the guys that we go after. So we go after them, we do the DF, we do an investigation, and right now, fortunately, state of Florida passed its own law, which helps us tremendously, which makes, once we work with them and generally gather the evidence and work with them and they go in with us. But if under Florida state law, it's third degree felony. Under federal law, it is for first offense, you're talking $10,000 fine and a year in prison, which makes it a misdemeanor. It has to be over a year before it's a felony. But the state of Florida can do in 2 hours what it takes me 5 years to do. Okay. So.
Yeah. I know there's like corporate businesses that acquire licenses now because there's obviously Clear Channel around here. They own multiple stations. Do they have to have independent licenses for each of those stations or does their license apply to all of those?
No, they have to have a separate license for each station.
All right.
Now I was wondering, what are your procedures after you find out that they're transmitting too far? Depending on how far they're going, what if they're only, they're not doing 1,000 watts? What happens if they're only doing 1 watt or something like that? Would you go over there, would you give them a warning or something first, or would you just bust them immediately?
I don't believe in warnings. A lot of offices throughout do that. But, and I learned way back when, 10 years ago, when we were having serious problems here, we would go in and we would issue a warning. But I don't have to. We just did.
Yeah.
Okay, so the problem never stopped. Okay.
Was this when you were in charge?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been in charge since 1974.
Oh.
So we would go in and we would do the typical thing, issue a warning. Okay. Well, they would come back on. Okay. So we would go back, and I said, okay, this isn't getting it. There's no second chance. So as soon as I find them, it's $10,000 fine. That's what I do. Word gets around. All of these pirates have a network. They know this stuff. And so they communicate with each other, and their mentality back then was, okay, we can keep going until we get a warning. So when I started, you know, just zapping them right off the bat, they would come in and say, they would talk to us and say, I thought we got a warning first. I said, not in my district. You're done.
Which is a good thing, too.
Well, that's the only way you're going to stop it.
Exactly, yeah.
Because they just move on. They go to another place. They, you know, if you give them a warning all the time, they're just going to go to another location. They will keep doing whatever it is they're doing. I mean, you got to zap them.
Yeah.
So that's what I do.
That's a very good thing. Any other questions before we head out? It's almost.
You got any questions for us?
No, except that no questions, but I would like to commend you all on what you've got going here.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Very appreciated.
It's excellent.
So by far, what do you think of our radio station?
I wish I had one of these when I was in high school. But your radio station is phenomenal.
Thank you so much.
That's the only way I can put it. I mean, this is just unbelievable. I mean, this comes very close to some of the broadcast stations I've inspected.
Really?
You guys have done a great job.
Thank you.
We couldn't have done it without our sponsors.
Yeah.
People helping us out. Roger, of all people.
Yeah. Amazing guy. But it's this is wonderful. You guys are doing a good job. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's wonderful to see youngsters involved in this and that have their interest in broadcasting. So it's great. You know, you guys are good.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming in the studio and letting us do an interview with you. Thank you so much.
No problem.